All right, come on in, guys. Grab your seats.
Let's get rolling here.
Got a long way to go and a short time to get there. You guys know what that song's from?
Got you.
All right, Jared's got me. We got one old man in here. All right. Long way to go and a short time to get there.
You guys ever seen Smokey and the Bandit before? Oh, hey, Stella, what's going on, girl?
That song's the best part.
It is the best part. one of the best parts. All right, so we got a lot of stuff to kind of go through real quick. There are three things I was supposed to start class with. I can only remember two of them. So I'm going to get started on the first one. We got to plan our next youth night. How many of you guys can do it next Friday? One. We got one. All right. So we got two. We got a couple. Check on it. Check on it. My goal is to do it next Friday. I'm off all next week, so.
Me too.
Are you serious?
Yes. Oh, yeah. We have school next week.
Yeah. Dude. Because I thought Brady had like 2 days. But exactly. So you guys have no days?
It's like.
Because you don't like parent-teacher conferences at the end?
They are like
top three. Brady, don't they do voting like
ballots? I think it's Monday and Tuesday.
Yeah, it's like all. They just mashed all into 1 week. They did like. Parent-teacher conferences, and then, like, voting.
Yeah. Okay. Well, dude, we got to do a youth night, then. We got nothing to do. It'll be fun after not going to school.
Blue Summit
only? Blue Springs. How's Blue Springs looking? Thank you.
Well, Monday, all the seniors are talking about a senior Monday skip, so there's
not
that. Tuesday, no school, and the rest of
school. Okay. Yes, okay. Thank you, babe. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Brady. Okay, so you guys got school. Some of you have it, some of you don't. How's the party looking?
Next week, I don't have school tomorrow, but I might be able to come next Friday. It's just that we don't have to join the districts after the beginning of
month. Okay, sweet. So for those of you that were out of the room, I propose having a youth night next Friday. So yes, check your schedules. Make sure Alex is coming. He's been feeding the 5,000 with his loaf. Right here, so pretty good.
That's funny.
So he's back. But yeah, next Friday, I really want to try to make that happen. So we gotta get word of mouth. I'll send a message out to your parents to their group chat that I have with them, and then I'll send you guys some more details through group me. But right now, let's plan on that. Just so I don't put it on anybody, we can just have it at my house right now. Just because. I don't want to like go out on anybody's lap like that, so it will be at my place unless you have something.
Oh, well, we can be at our place later. The girl can get some, if we're doing a sleepover, we can have that at our house.
All right, sleepover. If you guys want to do a sleepover, sounds like it might be happening over the Kimmy's for the girls. Your dad's house is open again? Thank you. All right, so boys, if you want to do something, we can do it at my place or Chuck's.
Does he know his house is open?
Huh? Chuck. Yeah, no. Yeah. Chuck does not know. The Lord is whispering to him right now.
Yeah,
our mom does not know.
Yeah.
Huh? What's up, Sierra?
So it's for sure next Friday, though?
Yeah, for sure. We're going to try next Friday, unless, like, the rapture happens. We're going to plan on that, all right? We're just going to plan on that. And then if the rapture happens and you're still here, you can have it. What's up?
That was me.
All right, so...
Oh,
next Friday, I'll get those details out. Yeah, I'll just plan it from here. So I think this will be good. You guys want to share anything while I'm thinking about my other mouth here today? My other chick? Colton.
I was going to mention once we move into our new house, we can start having events out there.
Colton has land. He's got land for days out there. Country land, too, so you can do things city kids can't do. So it's going to be a lot of fun. I'm looking forward. Swing from trees, bonfires, four-wheelers. We need to have some four-wheelers again. You guys got four-wheelers out there?
Not yet. We're going to just...
Oh, we got some we can bring out.
We're going to get dirt bikes, too.
Yeah. Can't you want me to wash your feet?
No. I put my socks on. That's embarrassing.
How would you guys feel if I walked around and washed all your feet? Would that be like a spiritual or an ethics experience?
That's disgusting.
Okay.
Kenzie got her
dog
though.
I didn't ask you to look.
I did not ask you to look.
Look at them doing look.
Oh, that's what it was. So, okay, this is important. This is the second announcement. the first one, babe, was that we're going to have a youth night next Friday, right at our place.
So, yeah,
your mom doesn't know, your dad doesn't know, my wife didn't know. So now we're on the court. The second thing is kind of big. So raise your hand right now if you're part of one of those Lifeline teams.
He told us we couldn't be. Like, he told us that they're only for adults.
Thank you. That's what I thought was happening. Okay, so Drake, I saw one hand go up. It was adult. So good. So this is what I was thinking about. Supposedly, those are taking the place of prayer groups, but prayer groups happened on Sundays. So it was like pretty convenient. You just show up early and you're already here for the rest of the service and the day and everything like that. The difference with these Lifeline teams don't happen on Sunday. At least the ones I know about don't. Mine doesn't. They happen sometime during the week. I knew about that. I knew the kids weren't involved in that. I just wanted to make sure none of you guys were. And someone had brought it up to me that maybe the youth group wants to do it. We should check with them. The only reason I hadn't said anything to you guys, I was thinking, well, they already have like extracurricular activities throughout the week. Weeks are kind of busy already as it is. So I don't want to like just throw something out there. Especially, I know how you kids are. You might just say yes and agree to it because you want it to look spiritual. Like, that's what we're supposed to say. I know a lot of your parents have brought you up in the ministry. How, you know, it's about build your life around the ministry. Don't build the ministry around your life. It's great. But with this, I don't just want to throw something else on our plate just for the sake of throwing something on our plate. However, if you guys saw what the adults are doing, how they're meeting up during the week, they're designating the time to Zoom each other. If you want to do that, I'm totally cool with that. And if the way that we'll do it, we'll have just two groups. We'll have a guys group and a girls group. And you guys will Zoom each other, and then we'll Zoom the boys and all that stuff like that. And we can choose a time. Be 100% honest. Raise your hand if that's something that you really want to do. You feel like you've been wondering why it took you so long to come up with this, or if you're just kind of like, no, we're fine with just kind of rolling like how it is.
Brady
has
no vote.
Yeah, Brady has no vote. But, okay, so there's some interest, and we'll talk about that. Like, if you guys, that's what I was kind of thinking. I was thinking, I don't know if the kids are really trying to do that right now, but what's up?
No, that would be good, but, like, the weeks are, like, super busy.
You said
like
a weekdays
Monday,
off? Yeah.
Friday, yeah. Saturday.
7 a.m. Saturday, Virginia. Yeah, for sure.
It's kind of like
how
we do, like, youth nights. I think it's cool, like, we end up to, like, find just, like, one day where we can just, like, all, like, come together and, like, do like devotions, or like we just want to like do like, some lessons. Or like,
I mean, I personally wouldn't mind even meeting, doing something on our off week that we don't have youth group. I hate the fact that we have to always, you know, wait 2 weeks to do something together. Okay, that's not over with. We're probably not going to do it like the adults do it, but stay tuned. We might still like find some way to meet up on our off weeks, like do some type of Zoom or something, just to keep continuity and just stay diligent with meeting with one another. So I spent all that time on those first two, hoping that the third one would magically materialize in my mind. It has not done that. So, what happens when you get old, guys?
Like you had something.
I did. Before I came here, I was like, okay, we're gonna make sure we go over these three things at the beginning of class. And I can't remember two of them. Is anybody else feeling something in the spirit that can pass up here?
We start throwing out
ideas.
Are you sure?
Ideas, will that help you remember?
Yeah, just start throwing out everything that's on your mind.
I have special mention.
Oh, wait. Kenzie has special mention. I'm going to hear this.
Oh, Dad, this is so awesome.
My volleyball team won districts on Wednesday.
What? Congratulations. Is that the JV girls or the varsity?
Varsity.
Oh, my gosh.
She got the game-winning kill.
What?
Dude, you did that when we were watching you. That night you came home for the dinner with you too. It was like the last.
Oh yeah,
and
yeah.
You
yeah,
killed
yeah.
it, man. Kenzie's just. Yeah, I know. She can't even keep up with it anymore. Oh, okay. Yeah, maybe later. What do you think? Oh no, now you have them down here right now. Okay. Well, who knows what special holiday is happening next year this time?
Day of the Dead.
So if you guys want, we're gonna pass out a little treat in honor of Satan's holiday. And
Day of the Dead.
No, that was not.
Okay, let's go.
If you guys want, you can eat that now, or you can eat them after class. But we got some goodies for you, some cookies and cupcakes. If you guys would like for the holiday.
Yeah, we have
sugar cookies, brownies, and
I'm good,
chocolate.
There are no birthday
parties.
Teachers would
have to suck
these out.
Oh, yay. All right. While, listen up, and turn around this way too, guys. So while they're passing that out, I'm going to do a little history lesson on where this bad boy came from, all right? Some notes prepared for you. So, this will be our article for today.
Who wants a cookie, first of all? We'll go cookies, cupcakes, and then brownies.
All right, so.
You can have as many as you want.
That's right, as many as you want. Except for not the children. Oh, you need a plate. Yeah, Brady, you pass out the plates. Bryn passes out the cookies. Teamwork. Teamwork. Like, oh, sorry,
Bryn. I told him I was good.
Everyone told me that. Okay.
Sounds good. I haven't had these. I love those icing sugar cookies like that. Those are some of the best. All right, listen up. Turn your eyes back here. They're going to keep passing out snacks and all that stuff like that. You can eat it now, later, whatever you want to do. So, who knows where Halloween came from? What's the origin of it? Nope. Sierra.
Isn't it like Hallows Eve, basically celebrating?
Yes.
It's like the dead. And so, basically, to keep them in like their graves so that they don't raise up and kill them.
Oh, Lord. Good night. Was that a dream or the etymology of Halloween?
I actually just read something about it.
Did you really?
Yes.
So that's what it was called. Oh, what'd you read about, Saray?
It was like the cult.
The cult? Have you been singing a lot? Is your voice a little hoarse from singing? Oh, okay. You had that very compelling raspy voice going on there. It's very good. So what'd you read about the cults of it?
Well, they're like Celts. I don't know how you...
Yes! No, she's absolutely right. All right, so listen up. I'm going to read some facts about Halloween while you guys are getting sugared up. Here we go. In AD 835, Pope Gregory IV designated November 1st as All Saints Day. All right. Or All Hallows Day. The term hallow refers to saints. So that hallow is like holy. So saints and all that stuff. The Pope did that, by the way. All right. The night before November 1st, which is October 31st, was known as All Hallows Evening. All right. How do we get the term Halloween? Well, look at the name, All Hallows Evening. If we drop the all, so let's take that out. We take off this S. We take out this V. We take out the ING. Oh, snaps. Spells Halloween. So. Hey, that's, don't you, what in the world?
Did they take
this is science. You shut your mouth. What'd you say? Oh, that was a good throw. So, that is science that cannot be refuted. Look at that. Enjoy it. That's what happened. So, what Saray was talking about is true. Anybody that knows about like the Roman Catholic Church and how they got a lot of their holy day, how they got a lot of those holy days that we celebrate now. When they went around and did their evangelism campaign, when they went around winning souls or saying that they're going to kill them. So that's kind of like how they did their evangelism. Our evangelism is, you know, walk up to someone, pass out a tract. We like you to take this, you know, I got some good news for you. Jesus Christ wants you to get saved, wants you to live in heaven. Roman Catholic Halloween, instead of tracts, they had swords. and they said, convert to our religion or we'll kill you. Okay, so a different, they had more converts, I'm not going to lie. They did a little bit better job converting people. But when they did that, because it wasn't a conversion of the heart, it was more so one of the head, they didn't want to die. These people never gave up their original customs. So what the Catholics did when they brought them into the church, the Catholic Church, they had to allow them to keep their customs, but give it a spiritual name. So when they went and took over the Druids that were over in like Scotland, like Ireland, that area over there, the Celts, the Celtic people. I love Celtic music, by the way. Amen, Drake. Be Thou My Vision. Who likes Be Thou My Vision? That's Celtish right there. All right. So anyway, the Celts, when they were pagans, they had a priest class or noble class, more so priest class, that was over all their religion and their occult worship and paganism that were called the Druids. And that's exactly what this was. The Druids was this group of people that was the Celts priest class over their religion. And they were the ones that came up with this Hallows Eve thing that was going on. They worshiped the sun god named Belinus on May 1st to start off the summertime. And then to start off the winter time, they worship this god called Samhain. And they had a summer festival back in May 1st. Let me see here. Got some human sacrifice going on. That's always good. It's offered during both occasions. Let's see. See if there's anything good on here. Oh, so check this out. As a result of this belief, the Celts taught that on their New Year's Eve, which is our Halloween, October 31st, ghosts, evil spirits, and witches roam the earth in order to honor the sun god, Belinus, and to frighten away evil spirits who allegedly feared fire. Large bonfires were lit on hilltops. So, bonfires. That was a Celtic thing they did to try to ward off the ghosts and the evil spirits. They thought they were scared of fire. On this night, evil or frustrated ghosts were also believed to play tricks on humans and cause supernatural manifestations, just like poltergeists today. As part of the celebration, people dressed in grotesque masks danced around the great bonfires, often pretending they were being pursued by evil spirits. In addition, food was put out to make the ghosts or ghouls of the good dead. So they had bad dead people and good dead people. So for the good dead, they put out food on Samhain, had released, felt welcome at home. Because Samhain marked the beginning of a new year, an interest in divination, the magic art of interpreting the unknown by interpreting random patterns or symbols, and fortune telling became an important part of this holiday. So one more thing the Druids gave us, fortune telling. All right. Anyway, that was happening like with everybody at that time. The Samhain celebration was not unique to the Druids. Many festivals worldwide celebrate a time when the dead return to mingle with the living. The Hindus call it a night of holy, or H-O-L-I, holly. The Iroquois Native Americans celebrate a feast of the dead every 12 years, when all those who have died during the preceding 12 years are honored with prayers. All right, a national holiday in Mexico. You guys know about that one? Día de los Muertos. Sí, sí. All right, the Day of the Dead begins on November 2nd and lasts several days. In this gruesome festival, death becomes a kind of neighborly figure, appearing on candy, jewelry, toys, bread, cakes, and so on. This is the time when the souls of the dead return and when the living are to honor them. So, just like Christmas was stolen from the religion of Mithraism, sun god worship and all that stuff like that, and brought into the Catholic Church, same thing happened with Halloween. Started out with the Druids, but in order for the Catholic Church to allow the car to keep rolling, they had to give it a fancier name to make it sound spiritual. All Hallows Eve. So instead of worshiping warding off the ghosts and the demons, they are to remember the saints, the hallowed people of the church, and everything like that. So, hey, there you go. Now you can go back to school tomorrow and share that with no one. And that'll be good. All right. Anybody want to share anything that happened exciting this week before we get started with our Brady again? Brady, this better be good. Everyone's listening. Looking and listening. Let's go.
When we talked about the Bible.
That was a fun time. We had a good time in the Bible. Brady and I had a good time in the Bible. You did a good job reading this week, too. Very good, son. Anyone else? I feel like a jerk. No, okay, go ahead.
My sister and I stayed up to like 4:30 the other night building for like her trunk or treat.
Mmm.
Wow. Invested.
Sorry. Wait, what were you building, Sierra?
I don't know if she's needed to tell you guys or not.
Yeah,
Try to keep it a secret.
No, yes, I mean, yeah, absolutely. Keep it a secret.
She's doing Super Mario Bros.
Oh, I can't wait for that. Oh, sweet. Bryn, what did you do this week that was fun?
Brady turned 7?
Brady turned 7! Last week, no, three weeks ago. It's all right. He did, because this whole month is a week for us.
That's a good one, Bryn.
Very good, very good. Lexi, yes.
I failed my Spanish quiz today.
Oh.
Wait, it wasn't Lexi.
You know what? It takes courage to fail. No, Lexi. Very good. So was that the one you were asking us about last weekend that we were trying to help you with?
Yes. Drake helped me.
Drake is not Mexican.
Drake is.
No.
Drake
is Asian, by the way.
Is that why you
made
us do Spanish?
Wait, was it the accent thing?
Your dad! Wait!
Okay, so you got like...
No,
was it that?
No,
okay.
I was sitting there when she talked to him. That was good. No, that was hilarious. I was sitting there when I was listening to that. That was a good time. Anybody else? Kinsey, yes.
This happened a while ago, like just whenever we were on quarantine, but I got a car.
Dude, awesome. Congratulations. Very good. Wait, Kinsey, how old are you?
It's a
15. Power wheel. Big wheel. Nice.
Turning 16.
Turn 16. All right, so does driving scare you, or are you like really excited to go out there and do it?
If I'm with my dad, I'm not scared. But my mom just makes me more scared.
Yes. Is your mom really tense?
I can relate.
Oh, hey, babe. Huh?
My mom doesn't
need to go anywhere. Ooh, wow. We need some therapy sessions in here. Sounds like, yeah. Yeah. Huh?
Can I have some water?
Sure.
$20.
Anybody else before we move on?
You literally drive on the bridge.
Going once? Going twice? Let's come over.
I do.
Not going to district.
Selma? So you have your license. Dude, you're official. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. You kids. I remember when you were in diapers, girl. That is nuts. That was nuts. When Selma was in diapers. Crazy. All right, let's sing. I guess we got nothing else to do, right?
Wait,
Alyssa, you're like, no, don't sing.
I forgot. My other godchild was born today.
Oh wow.
Who did they come from?
My cousin. She's like really young though.
So it's like your second cousin. Then.
No, she's my cousin, but I'm the godmother.
Yes.
Yes.
I never understood the god thing. How that works.
I guess like if like something happens to her.
Then,
like, I become the mom.
Whoa.
Yeah. Are you ready
for this?
Are you ready
for this? Yeah, we're
ready
for this.
Jesus.
Does it have to do with, like, is, like, this, that's how your family, like, Catholic or anything? Does it have to do with that?
I don't know what they
Because I thought it had something to do with the Catholic churches, but, like, back.
I don't know. It's just, like, our grandma's. It's because, like, her family doesn't live in the best place, and she's, like, if anything happens to me, I'm going to keep the child.
Yeah.
Most people, like, if they have a newborn kid, like, they'll go to someone and be like, if anything were to happen to, like, me and my spouse, like, we want you to, like, take care of our kid.
Tyler,
child, and like,
our
child. Yeah. Laura,
and
like,
Laura and my dad are the fathers and mothers of Tyler.
Yeah, but wow. No one hasn't been offered off yet, so. Yeah.
If something happens, he's just dead.
I guess I have to.
So, does everybody have these? How many people in there have godparents?
I think I do, but it's been
just
a long time.
Because she's Hollywood.
Because she's Hollywood. Dang, man. So that's really why it is. Like, if you grow up in a bad neighborhood, you need godparents because you might not make it.
It's just like a security thing.
Yeah.
It makes sense.
Like, Brady and Brady godparents.
At first, I thought I was like, oh, like, we like you so much, we're going to give you this title of godparent.
Well, maybe some people don't want, like, certain
people. Yeah, there you go.
They're going to
be the god, the real godparent.
Woo!
The real godfather.
Amen. Good job, boy.
And I bet some people don't want, like, if they have, like, crazy family members, like, if something happens to them and then the child is like, oh, it's going to go to the next person in their life. And they probably want to assign someone that they trust.
Wow, that's so good. This has been like the most informative night ever. This is great, dude. This is so funny, man. Yeah, Kenzie, how do you know so much about this? Are you a godmother? Kenzie's got the bylaws down and everything, dude.
All the clauses, man.
It's just a theory.
Right, girl. Sounds pretty legit, man. Does anybody want to be a godparent?
I would love to be a godparent.
You want to be one?
No, people just want the
I'll
title. They don't want the responsibility.
Very good, very good. You guys hear that?
Like a huge honor to have a
title. Most people want the title, but not the responsibility. Very good.
I don't mind the responsibility.
No, me and Missy don't care. Like, she can't take care of herself.
Oh, get some gloves.
I feel bad for Lexi.
All right. For those of you that don't have godparents, meet me after church. We'll talk about it. We'll sign you up.
Sign up sheet for it.
You should have that back there.
Put down who you want. Top three.
It does not matter if this person.
Yeah, that's right. We should do that. It's like prepared sinner, prepared servant. We're going to have like the two lists. Like, yeah. Who wants to be the godparent? Who wants to be the godparent?
They both have
to
be ready. Both
your godparents die.
Then you go to
Selma came, she dug deep. Then you go to went down to the well. She said, what happens if your godparents die?
Like in the same month.
Then you go to the orphanage.
Then you're an orphan. Oh, man. Yeah, so.
I was talking to somebody about
that's if none of your other family members want you. Because they ask the other family members first. And they're like, do you want to take care of this child? And then they can be like, send them off to the orphanage.
That could be so embarrassing and awkward.
It's true.
They'd probably jump ahead of it and say, no, we're just going to choose godparents just to avoid that embarrassment.
We're the best of our parents. Yeah, we got it going on.
All right, let's stand up. Gather yourselves and let's sing melodious songs.
I don't want to live with that.
Hey, I don't live
there. I know Uncle Charles and Aunt Laura would take your
Dang!
Woo! It's gonna be shark repellent, and we're not gonna sell it.
Shark repellent.
All right, we're gonna have Colton pray for us, and then we're gonna get started singing. Colton, go ahead and pray.
Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for bringing everybody here safely. I pray, Lord, that that Zach has a good message, Lord, and you just let him say what you put on his heart, Lord. And I pray that we have a great rest of the evening. In Jesus' name.
All right, 504, sweet by and by. Let's start there, 504. Sweet by and by. 504. All right. Here we go, verse number one. There's a land that is fairer than day, and by faith we can see it afar. For the Father waits over the way to prepare us a dwelling place there. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. We shall sing on that beautiful shore the melodious songs of the blessed, and our spirit shall sorrow no more, not a sigh nor a blessing of rest. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. To our bountiful Father above, we will offer the tribute of praise. glorious gift of his love, and the blessings that hallow our days, in the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore, in the sweet by and by, we shall meet
on that beautiful shore.
492. I am so glad that our Father in heaven tells of his love in the book he has given. Wonderful things in the Bible I see. This is the dearest that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves even me. Verse number 1, 492. Here we go. I am so glad that our Father in heaven tells of his love in this book he has given. Wonderful things in the Bible I see. This is the dearest that Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves even me. Though I forget him and wander away, still he doth love me wherever I stray. Back to his dear loving arms would I flee, when I remember that Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves even me. Oh, if there's only one song I can sing, when in its beauty I see the great King, that shall my song in eternity be. Oh, what a wonder that Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves even me. Let's do one page over. Let's see if we can remember this one. Since the Savior found me. Here we go. Since the Savior found me, pardon all my sin. I have had the joy and living hope within. Gone is all the shame and sorrow of the past. They're underneath the precious blood of Christ. I'm saved! Saved, saved, saved. I'm happy on the way. Saved, saved, saved. I love him more each day. Saved, saved, saved. I know his mighty power. He saves and keeps and sanctifies me by his power. Since the Savior found me, all to him I owe. For his precious blood has washed me white as snow. Now no condemnation, happy as can be. I'm glad that Jesus justifies and sets me free. Saved, 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 I'm happy on the way. Saved, 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 I love him more each day. Saved, 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 I know his mighty tower. He saves and keeps and sanctifies me by his power. Since the Savior found me, I have perfect rest. Living in the realms of joy and happiness. Leaning on my Savior, looking for that day when he shall come to catch his waiting bride away. Saved, 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 I'm happy on the way. Saved, 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 I love him more each day. Saved, 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 I know his mighty power. He saves and keeps and sanctifies. On that chorus, one more time. I'm saved, saved, saved. I'm happy on the way. Saved, saved, saved. I love him more each day. Saved, saved, saved. I know his mighty tower. He saves and keeps and sanctifies me by his power. All right, 489. Glory, glory to his name. 489. Down at the cross where my Savior died, down where for cleansing from sin I cried, there to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to his name, glory to his name, glory to his name, there to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to his name.
saved from sin. Jesus so sweetly abides within. There at the cross where he took me in. Glory to him.
Verse number 3, precious fountain.
Oh, precious fountain that saves from sin. I am so glad I have entered in. There Jesus saves me and keeps me clean. Glory to his.
Come to the fountain. Verse 4.
Come to this fountain so rich and sweet. Cast thy poor soul at the Savior's feet. Plunge in today and be made complete. And glory to his name. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to his name.
You know, when it comes to explaining salvation to someone, I was meeting up with Logan, who was working with someone. He wanted to kind of go over winning someone to Christ. And after all, like the doctrine and the theology and the different ways to do it, Romans Road and all that stuff like that, the Ten Commandments, bring someone to the knowledge of sin, all that stuff, to sum it up, the simplest way to tell somebody where they're at, what they need to have happen and how to get to heaven is simply this. You know, absolutely, we're sinners and we're going to hell, but let's make it even simpler. You know what's happening? It's like how I explained to Brady when he got saved. When you go outside and fall down in the mud, are you going to be able to jump in the bed like that? Are we going to let you come back inside the house? No. What do you have to do? Have to get clean. What do you wash yourself with? Soap. All right? So, for your flesh to get clean, you got to put soap on it. All right? Inside of that flesh, you got something that lives forever. When this body dies, it's going to keep on living. It's going to keep on existing. It's going to feel just like this body felt. It's going to experience just like this body experienced. It's going to know just like this body knows. But it lives forever. But it doesn't get dirty by the dirt outside. It doesn't get dirty by someone sneezing on it. It doesn't get dirty by anything it touches. It gets dirty by what it experiences. It's sin. That dirt is sin. And on that soul, you have dirt that's called sin. How are you going to get that dirt off your soul before you get to a perfectly clean place? Who knows? What's it going to be? Alex knows. Anybody in here saved? Anybody in here got the dirt off their soul yet? Starts with a B. It's not baloney. The blood. That's the eternal, everlasting spiritual soap that washes away all sin. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. All right? So I love songs like this that make things so simple. If you're trying to explain salvation to someone, that's what it is. You've got dirt on your soul, and heaven's a perfect place. You can't go up there until that dirt gets off your soul. How are you going to get it off? You going to go to church to get it off? You going to read your Bible and try to get it off? You going to try to be good and get it off? Nope, I'm not. What can wash away my sin? Nothing, 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 nothing but the blood of Jesus. Remember that. Keep it simple. Remember those things. Next one. We're back here hitting all these highlights. 473. Heaven came down. Glory filled my soul. 473. Here we go. Oh, what a wonderful, wonderful day. Day I will never forget. After I wandered in darkness away, Jesus, my Savior, I met. And oh, what a tender, compassionate friend. He met the need of my heart. Shadows dispelling, with joy I am telling. All right, boys, you lead it. Girls, you echo. Here we go.
Heaven came down and glory filled my soul.
Girls.
Alright. When at the cross the Savior made me whole, now my sins are washed away, and my night was turned to day. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. Now I'm born of the Spirit with life from above into God's family divine. I am justified fully through Calvary's love, and Lord, understanding is mine. And the transaction so quickly was made when as a sinner I came. Took of the offer of grace, he saved me.
All right, boys, you echo.
Heaven came down and
glory
filled my soul. When at the cross
the Savior made me whole,
he made me.
Everyone,
now my sins are washed away, and my night was turned today. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. And now I have a hope that will surely endure after the passing of time. I have a future in heaven for sure, there in those mansions sublime. And it's because of that wonderful day when at the cross I believe. Riches eternal and blessings supernal from his precious hand I receive. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. And when at the cross the Savior made me whole. Now my sins are washed away, and my night was turned to day. Heaven came down in glory.
All right, good stuff. One more. What's it going to be?
272.
Lexi wants Solid Rock.
I think it's
her fave.
209.
Does everybody want to? Macy wants 209. That's grace greater than our sin.
Oh, no, sorry. It's 206.
Is that Turn Your Eyes?
Yeah, like Jesus.
Macy wants Wonderful Grace. Lexi wants.
That's 271.
Let's do the.
We got My Anchor Holds.
God's
Book Solid Rock.
Ferris Lord
God's
Jesus.
Book Divine. Ferris Lord Jesus.
God's Book Divine.
272 it is.
Or 272 Hark the Herald Angels Sing.
Oh, she's already getting into it.
You just ruined your records.
Your perfect record is ruined.
Perfect record of what?
Choosing the perfect hymns, I guess.
Oh, gosh.
So what's it going to be? We got 272. We got 271, My Anchor Holds. We got 206, Wonderful Grace of Jesus.
453.
334. Drake wants Be Thou My Business. You know what? We brought it out. We got to sing it now. 334. Here we go. Drake, this is for you. We talked about the Celts. We don't know what Drake's nationality is. He may be Celtic. No. Drake is from Ireland. That's right. Mystique. Okay, here we go. Be Thou My Vision. Verse number one. Here we go.
Be Thou My Vision, O Lord of my heart. Not be all else to me, save that Thou art. Thou my best thought, by day or by night. Waking or sleeping, Thy presence, my light. Be Thou my wisdom, I ever with Thee, and Thou with me, Lord. Thou my best Father, I Thy true Son. Thou in me dwelling, and I with Thee one. And riches I heed not, nor man's empty praise. Thou and Thou only, first in
son, oh ruler. Let's sing that last verse one more time. It's getting tougher and tougher every day for God to be our vision with all the craziness happening out there. But that's where we're supposed to keep our eyes turned on Jesus. Here we go, last verse.
High King of Heaven, my victory won.
The battle is not yours, it's the Lord's.
I reach heaven's joys, O bright heaven's sun. Heart of my own heart, whatever befall,
even still,
still be my vision.
I forgot about memory verses. Anybody memorize something that you want to recite? Oh, the Wonder Sisters. Let's go. Give us what you got. It is okay. We'll allow it. No. Go ahead.
Philippians 1:21. For to me to live is Christ, but to die is gain.
Now, why do you like that?
I like it because so for me living is for Christ and me being Christ. But then dying also isn't as bad as people think.
That's awesome. All right, Mace.
Okay. Philippians 1:21. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain.
Now, why did you like that one?
Pretty much like the same thing. Like, when you're living here, you should be living for Christ. And when you die, you should. I mean, you're in heaven, so you're going to be living for Christ. And, yeah.
That's what's up. No, that's good stuff. Our verse for this week. Turn over to the book of Jonah. It's right after the book before it. And before the book after it. The book of Jonah.
After Obadiah.
Obadiah. This right here, man, is a blockbuster verse. Small, but it packs a punch. You know, yes, the Bible is great. Thank God for salvation. And not only that, the Bible is great to teach you how to live. It shows you what God's mind is. It gives you facts. It gives you truth. But from a if I was unsaved and reading the Bible, I could still get so edified from it just because of the language that it's written in. Some of the way that things are phrased in here, you just can't say it any better than how it's said in the book. The Proverbs is a great example of that. So much wisdom packed in these one-liner phrases and stuff like that. Our memory verse for next week, and the verse I want to focus on tonight, is one of those verses. It packs such a punch, and it's so deep. But the way that God put it in here is just so cool how he did it. So, Jonah chapter 2, verse 8 says this. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercies. Anybody get inspired just by hearing that right now or not really? Just kind of like, what did you even say? Is that Shakespeare? What does that even mean? Okay, we're going to find out. Heavenly Father, help us tonight as we get into the Word, Lord, just to take this verse. And I thank you for just correcting me and showing me the things I need to improve on based off of it, Lord, and my false pursuits in life, God, where I'm actually pursuing things that are lies and not the truth. And in turn, Lord, I'm not just pursuing those things, but I'm also forsaking the mercy that you have for me. And so help us to get that point across to the kids tonight so that they can make the same corrections, Lord, if they want. And I pray that you would help those that have the mindset to do that, Lord, to get the tools that they need to and the people in their lives to make those things happen. Love you and pray in Jesus' name, amen. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. Well, I want to read up to that point and give you guys a little background on why this man was able to say that. This is Jonah in the book of Jonah. And that is his epiphany after getting a butt whipping by God. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. And what I want to say to you all today is this. After you're saved, God has a job for you to do. But you don't have to do it. After you're saved, God actually has a job for you to do now, but you do not have to do it. Okay? And he saved you for a purpose and for a reason. He's got a plan for your life, But you accomplishing that plan is totally independent upon you and whether or not you want to do that. Let's pick it up in verse 1. We're going to read down here. Find out why Jonah was able to say something like this. The Bible says in verse 1, Jonah chapter 1, verse 1, "Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me." Now, what God does right here in verse 2 is he presents to Jonah Jonah's best life. Now, I may not have sounded like that. And what you're going to find out is Jonah doesn't agree with God. He doesn't think that that is his best life. He thinks, well, Lord, I appreciate what you just offered me right there to arise, go down to Nineveh, that great city, and you want me to cry against it, for their wickedness has come upon me. And Lord, that doesn't sound like the best idea for me. And you know what? Maybe you sitting here tonight doesn't seem like the best idea for you. I bet, you know, that's a phrase I've heard these last couple of years amongst you guys. You know, I'm living my best life. You know, we joke around about that. You know, somebody shows up, accidentally slips in the puddle and gets up and you say, you're all right. You're like, I'm good. I'm still living my best life and stuff like that. You know, everybody like jokes around about that. And I get that. You know, there's this idea that even though I'm suffering through what I'm going through right now, you know, there's a better me over here that I'm trying to achieve or whatnot. I'm living my best life. But maybe sitting here tonight, you don't feel like that. Maybe you feel like saying the same thing, you know. Yeah, I got to come to church. I got to sit up here and, you know, read my Bible and try to follow these rules like a Christian. But, you know, it's not quite my best life. I have an idea what could be better than this outside of here. Are you living your best life? Here's a couple of questions for you. Are you saved? Are you in your Bible or in a Bible-believing church? Are you actively immersing your life in ministry? And that can be learning it, you know, going to discipleship. That can be training someone, taking them through it. And that can just be supporting someone in it. You can just be praying for someone that you know is a part of something. Or maybe you got family members that aren't here that you're trying to, you know, reach out to. And you're hoping God does something in their lives. The fact of the matter is simply this. When God presents this plan to Jonah in verse 2, that is Jonah's best life, whether he sees it or not. Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. But watch, Jonah doesn't agree. Verse 3. But Jonah rose up to flee from Tarshish. To flee unto Tarshish, from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa. And he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it, to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. In verse 2, God had his plans for Jonah that he thought was Jonah's best life. In verse 3, Jonah went to go live what he thought was his best life. Three things I noticed in verse 3. Number one, your best life will lead you from God. Your best will lead you from God. You see, in order to serve God, in order to give God your best, check this out. This might sound crazy, but you actually can't do it. You can't give God your best. Did you know that if I wanted my kids to do something for me and I wanted it to be their best, my kids would not be able to achieve that? You say, well, that sounds arrogant. What kind of jerk are you? If your kids drew your picture and they said, Daddy, here's a picture of you, and it was just nothing but scribbles, you would take that and say, it's not good? No, I wouldn't do that. I would love it and say, I appreciate what you did because I know that they did their best. But did you know if I sat down with them, put their little hand over that pencil or that color and whatever they're doing to draw the picture for me, but then I put my hand on top of theirs and help guide them, did you know that picture would turn out a lot better? Did you know the same thing happens in your life? If you want to do your best for God, it's going to suck. But if you allow God to do his best through you, it's going to be the best. The plan that God had for Jonah was God's plan that he was going to use Jonah to accomplish. Jonah said, not so, Lord. I've got bigger plans down here in Tarshish. So I'm going to go do that. Your best will lead you from the presence of the Lord. Number two, your best will cost you. Your best will cost you. When you choose not to go God's way and you want to go your way, but you're still going to do your best, it's going to cost you something. The Bible says, he paid the fare thereof.
Before, when God told Jonah to arise and go to Nineveh, there's nothing about any cost involved. You know why? Because God always pays for what God orders. If God comes up with a plan, he also comes up with the finances to accomplish that plan. But it's when you step outside of God's plan and want to do something, even if you call it spiritual, even if you call it holy and all that stuff like that, even if you call it Christian, even if you call it ministry, if it's not truly God's plan, it's going to cost you when God never wanted it to cost you. Number three, notice your best will also take you down. Now, in verse 3, the Bible doesn't just say that Jonah went from the presence of the Lord twice. It doesn't just say that Jonah had to pay his own fare. But the Bible says, and he went down to Joppa. And the Bible says he went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish. When it comes to your best life, this is what God wants. God wants you to be close to him. When Jonah did his best, he went from the presence of the Lord. God wants to be your provider. He always pays for what he orders. That's what the Bible says in Psalm 37:23, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. If God orders it, he'll pay for it. So God wants you to be close to him. God wants to provide for you, but then lastly, he also wants to exalt you in due time. When Jonah chose to go his way, he went down. He kept going down. But the Bible says, if you humble yourself before God, he will exalt you. He'll lift you up in due time. But Jonah wanted to accomplish all those things by himself. And our verse tonight warns against this. God is trying to show Jonah, this isn't your best life, son. What I've got for you is your best life. Don't fall for the lies. Don't fall for the lies. Let's keep reading here and see what happens to old Jonah. Many of you are familiar with that story, but I want you to see this thing and walk our ways through it. Verse 4, but the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Listen, when you run from the presence of God, you'll end up running into a storm. Verse 5, then the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down to the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, what meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us, that we perish not. And they said every one to his fellow, come, and let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Then said they unto him, tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us. What is thine occupation, and whence comest thou? What is thy country, and of what people art thou? And he said unto them, I am an Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. Then were the men exceedingly afraid, and said unto him, why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. Then said they unto him, what shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wrought, it was tempestuous. And he said unto them, take me up, cast me forth into the sea, so shall the sea be calm unto you. For I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. Now, isn't that horrible? Here's the thing about a child of God. When you screw up and you don't do what's right, you end up ruining the lives of most of the people around you, too. You see, you've got this great drawing force inside of you called the Holy Spirit of God that God gave you to be a light to this world. God gave you to be a magnet. He wanted you to draw in men. And like the Bible says, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. That's what his plan was for you. But just like when you don't use that force inside of you for the good that God intended it, that thing becomes negative. And what happens is that Holy Spirit of God starts to get grieved inside of you. And you as a Christian, a saved person, become one of the most miserable creatures on this planet to be around. That force that God gave you for good becomes a force of evil to repel people and mess up everything around you. Verse 13, nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to the land, but they could not, for the sea wrought and was tempestuous against them. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, We beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood, for thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. So they took up Jonah, cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord, and made vows. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Now we know where Jonah is when he comes to this great epiphany. We're walking up to verse 8 here. God had a plan for Jonah, just like you. But you don't have to do it. You still have a choice. But let's see what happens when Jonah comes to his senses. Chapter 2, verse 1. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly, and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice, for thou hast cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. The waters compassed me about, even to the soul. The depth closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped about my head. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee, into thine holy temple. Now God's got Jonah back where he can lift him up. He's humbled him again. The Bible says over there in Psalm 34:18, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Before God can lift you up and do something with you, he first has to tear you down and make you come to the end of yourself. One of our memory verses a couple of whiles back, Psalm 51:10. Before God could renew a right spirit within you, create in me a clean heart. That's what it takes. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. All right, here it is. Verse 8. This is what Jonah learns. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. Now, last part we're going to read is the beginning of verse 3. But before we read that, jump back over here. Jonah chapter 1, verse 2. At the beginning, God said, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. We took 13 verses, going down to Tarshish, going down away from God, going from the presence of the Lord, paying our own fare, getting into a boat, going through a horrible storm, getting cast out of that boat, getting swallowed up by a fish, getting killed, going down to hell, coming back up again to finally get back to Jonah chapter 1, verse 2. But now we're in Jonah chapter 3, verse 2. Watch. Arise, let's try this again, boy. Go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. But now he gets it, verse 3. So Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh. After you're saved, God has a plan for your life, but you don't have to do it. But there's a lot in between there, and he'll keep trying to get you back to doing it. What Jonah learned here was in verse 8 of chapter 2. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. Lying vanities. You know what happened? Jonah lied to himself. Somehow he believed in God. Let's take that. If you believe in God, you believe in someone that's greater than man. If he's not greater than man, don't call him God. He's just as vulnerable. He's just as frail. He's just as weak. He's just as helpless as us. But if he's God, he's got to have some God-like qualities, okay? If he's God, the Bible says he's omnipresent. That means he can be everywhere at once. The Bible says he's omniscient. That means he's all-knowing. All right? The Bible says he's eternal. The Bible says he's the Alpha and the Omega. That means he was here at the beginning and he'll be there at the end. The Bible says he's righteous. He's holy. He's altogether lovely. Okay, so he's out of our league. A guy like that somehow you think you can trick and go your way without suffering any consequences? You know what that was? That was a lying vanity. Somehow he lied to himself and believed that lie. Lying vanities. You know, we see that a lot in the world today. The Bible was given to us by God so that we could know what God thinks about everything in life. Jesus Christ was sent down here. He even said back there in John 14, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You know what man has done? He's come up with a ton of lying vanities to get to heaven instead. He says, well, I think if I just try my best and at the end of my life, I got more good works than bad works, I think I'll make it. I think I'll do fine. You know what he's going to hear at the Great White Throne Judgment? They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. The Bible says when God made hell, he didn't make it for man. The Bible says God made it for the devil and his angels. No people were included in that. So how do you end up down there? You observe lying vanities. Observe what you're looking at, what your gaze is on. What you're spending time with. Are you spending more time with lies and the truth? This is why it's important. There is a force in this world that hates you. I'm not just talking about Christians. I'm not just talking about Americans. I'm not just talking about kids, all right? Back in the beginning, when God kicked the devil out of heaven, when he kicked Lucifer out and he came down here, he also kicked him off of his throne over the Garden of Eden, planet Earth. The Bible says he was second in command to God himself. Nobody had more wisdom than him. No one had more beauty than him. No one had more power than him. God took something that was made out of diamonds, topaz, onyx, beryl, something out of the most beautiful gems that God's ever put together. He took that being, the fifth cherub, that cover that had all that majesty and glory, something so impressive that the angels knew who God was, but still chose to follow him. God took that being, kicked him out of heaven. You know what he replaced him with? Something made out of the dust of the ground. Now, if you were the devil, would that piss you off? You know what that would be like? That would be like your parents being billionaires, and you're their only child, and then, God forbid, something horrible happened where they die. Well, naturally, everybody thinks, well, now you're the billionaire, but no, instead, they take that inheritance and give it to the dog. How would that make you feel? Now you get a small idea of how the devil felt. He took this earth and said, Adam! Who I took from the dust of the ground, the dirt. That's not immortal. That's not going to live forever. But Adam, come here. Come here, boy. Hey, Lucy, you see this? Yeah, I'm going to take this dirt and put it in your spot now. You know what the devil said? Bet. I'm going to do everything I can to destroy that dirt. After you make it, I'm going to meet it in the garden. I'm going to get it to sin. I'm going to have to make you curse it. And then after that, I'm going to come down here later on and mix my seed with it so that you want to hate it all and that you want to damn it all. You're going to want to wipe them all out. That's the devil's job. When he shows up in the tribulation period, the Bible calls him Apollyon. You know what he's called? The destroyer, the Antichrist. What's he destroying? Humanity! You know what you're getting ready to see happen in this world? This world's consolidating. The governments, their borders are falling. You're about to see a lot more consolidation happening out there. A lot more global movements taking place. And what's happening is the devil's getting ready to bring people together. Why? Because he loves them, he cares about them? No. He's going to put them into some type of system that's going to start wiping them out in huge, large numbers. You know why? Because the devil hates you. Absolutely, he hates Christians, but he knows that Christians are going to get saved, they're going to get out of here. The devil hates humanity in general. And he's pissed off that God took what belonged to him and he replaced it with dirt. So for a human being in this life, there is an evil, wicked force out there that hates you. It wants to damn you. And it wants, that's the only thing it gets pleasure from. The Bible says over there in
Isaiah 31 or Ezekiel 31. The only thing that comforts the devil when he's down in hell is knowing that other people are down there with him. That's all he's trying to do. Get more people into hell. Cause more sorrow. Cause more destruction. Cause more heartache. Cause more pain. And he feeds off of that. The more fear you have, the more heartache, the more pain you have. He feeds off of it. But in the midst of that, thank God, he said, yeah, you're going to have to be down here in this world. And there's something very wicked down here in this world. Something so wicked that my son, Jesus Christ, is going to need me to even defeat that thing. But check it out. I'm going to put something inside you. And greater is he that is in you than he that is in this world. But you've got to listen to it. The devil's going to put a lot of lying vanities in front of your eyes to try to attract you and draw you away to follow those things. They're going to be beautiful, man. It's going to glitter. It's going to look like gold. It's going to smell good. It's going to be good for food, desirable to the eyes, and pleasant to the eyes, and desirable to make one wise. But don't fall for it. Why not, God? Because they're lying vanities. Don't observe them. More money, more followers, more influence, more friends, more fame. It looks good. Trust me, I know. I know it sounds good. It looks good. They're lying vanities. What God's given you in this church, in this Bible, in the ministry, you know what that really is, what it comes down to? It's mercy to get you through this world. Because without it, you're going to get tossed to and fro like a ship out there on the sea. You know, one of the toughest things I had to do as a father, Brady had torticollis. I think Mackenzie had it. He had to wear these beautiful little helmets on these little babies' heads. And with him, it was where his muscles were tight and they had like contorted over here. And if we didn't, while the head of the baby is still soft, if you don't get them to loosen that muscle up and continually stretch that thing, he would have grown up like this and lopsided. So as annoying as Brady is, imagine him being like this and being that annoying. <You know? laughs> But one of the hardest things we had to do to this kid, it's 1 year old, less than one, we started doing this. For 12 minutes a day, we had to put that baby on the ground, hold his shoulders down, and then force his neck to the opposite side to stretch that thing out. The way that he screamed, you just wanted to kill yourself for it. After you got done with that, you're just about ready to go, just end it. Just the worst sounds ever, man. This baby that, first they're sitting there playing with you, loving on you. All they know is this is mommy and daddy that brought me to the world, and they care about me, and they're always here for me. And we always, you know, this is a great time. And then you knew it. You just look at the clock. I know we got to do this, because if we don't do it, I know what's going to happen to him. He's going to grow up deformed. It's not going to be good for him. We got to do it. And Jenny's sitting there crying while I'm holding the baby down. He's crying and screaming because it's the worst pain, the worst sound ever. But you know what you're doing? You're not trying to hurt that baby. You're not doing it for pain. You're doing it for mercy. You're doing it for quality of life later on. You know, less of a hard instance. Brady and Ben, when we get ready to leave now, you know, especially Brady, he's like this. You know, if it's not negative 50, he doesn't think he needs a coat on. You know what I mean? So we're getting ready to walk out the house. Put on a coat. Dad, I don't need a coat. You're going to need a coat. It's cold. But Dad, I don't need a coat. Just trust me. I don't need a... Brent, come here. And what I've learned to do now is I'll take him, and this isn't child abuse yet. I take him and I go put him outside before we leave and shut the door. All right? And then I say, if you knock, you need a coat. And sure enough, there's a knock. Now, what is that? Yes. Without a coat, you look more cool. Yes. Without a coat, you don't look like the Michelin man because you got this big winter coat on, everything like that. I get it. But what am I doing? Am I trying to hurt the kid? No. I'm trying to offer that kid. It's not a coat. It's mercy I'm trying to put on him. Because I know what's coming down the line if he goes out without that coat. There's a cold that's coming his way. It can be horrible. It can be pneumonia. It can be bronchitis. It can be anything really terrible that can kill that kid. He might feel bad about how it's going to make him feel or look right now, but later on it's going to take him out of activities that he could have been a part of because he's at home sick with a fever or worse. So am I telling him to put on a coat? Yeah. But even greater, you know what I'm telling him to put on? The same thing God was trying to put on Jonah. Mercy. They that observe lying vanities. You don't need a coat. It doesn't look cool. You can get past this. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. So maybe you're here tonight, sitting down, thinking about all the places you could be. Yeah, it's dull. The music's old. The book is older. The company's common. There's more flashy people out there than us. But when you leave, what are you leaving behind? They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. I think we're seeing that in our country right now. The principles that we were brought up on allowed us to be able to sing songs about God bless America, land that I love. You know, that phrase in there. We were looking at natural disasters versus God's judgment. And I don't know if you guys remember this. We looked at around the world the type of natural disasters that have happened in other countries. People dying by the thousands, by the hundreds of thousands, by the millions in China. You saw a couple of earthquakes and floods that took them out. In America, natural disasters never even came close to anything like that. So when we talk about America, the beautiful God has shed his grace on thee, he absolutely has. He shed his grace and his mercy on us because of how we started out, because of the book that we held up, because of the principles that we live by. But now, the Bible's not important. We're not allowed to talk about God in school. We're not allowed to have the Ten Commandments in the courthouse. We're not allowed to have a National Day of Prayer anymore. We're not allowed to, you know, speak openly as Christians without getting some type of retribution or something like that happening to us, a rebuttal. You know what we're starting to do? I say starting because I'm being nice. We've forsaken the mercy that God started us with. And when you do that, you have to observe lying vanities. Now your options for president are someone senile and someone that's a show star, a show tunes guy. You know, a guy that was a what do you even call those guys anymore? He's not a movie star, but I guess he was. He was in Home Alone too. 30? I don't know. It doesn't even matter really. But that's what you get. You get someone that's, you get options that are less than what you would expect in a position like that. But why is that? Well, what have you forsaken? When God gave you the book, when he gave you the preachers, when he gave you the churches, when he gave you the people out in the street corners preaching, when he gave you the people passing out tracts, you got upset. You talked about your rights being violated. You talked about, well, can't they do that somewhere else? I just want to come down here and have a good time. I just want to be free. I just want to express myself. All right. Churches, shut down. Street preachers, get off the streets. Bible believers, go into hiding. Bibles, become new versions. What's left? All the lying vanities that are around our country today. In comes communism. In comes whatever you care about. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. So remember that in your own life. When there's rules implemented, when there's rules put in place spiritually to help you out, that you feel like, my God, I hate these things. I mean, why can't it be less of a strict religion? Why can't we have, you know, more of a life like the kids in the world? Listen, there's mercy God's trying to cover you with. And the devil's trying to get them caught up in these lying vanities to destroy them. He hates man. He hates you, and all he wants to do is to destroy, to steal, kill, and destroy. Don't forsake the mercy of God that he's given us, this book, these four walls, these people around you, the Christians. Don't forsake that mercy for what you think is better out there in the world. So what do you have your sights on? What do you have your mind made up to do?
Is God going to have to take you to hell and back like he did Jonah before you realize it was all vanity and it was all lies? Take the mercy. Take the mercy. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for that verse. Thanks for putting it so succinctly, Lord, in the Bible. And you've done that so well and everywhere that you've done it, Lord, and especially in Proverbs. But there in Jonah, we get a beautiful little principle, Lord, that whenever we say no to the truth and what you give us, God, we're forsaking it for something a lot more disastrous, Lord. And we think we're saying yes to ourselves. We think we're saying yes to a different way to do things out in the world. But God, all we're really doing is observing lying vanities. The lies may not present themselves yet, Lord, but in time they will. You said, because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men are fully set in them to do evil. And maybe, Lord, we wouldn't get caught up into so much sin if you came down and judged us quickly. Maybe if every time I had a bad thought, Lord, if you made something terrible happen to me, I wouldn't have as many bad thoughts. Maybe if every time I started to go down the wrong path, Lord, a bell sounded or something happened, Lord, to stop me, I wouldn't sin so much. But God, that's not how you have it set up right now. Instead, you've got the restrictions a lot looser, Lord, and instead all we can do is either have faith in what you said or not believe it and go our own way and observe lying vanities. But help us to know, God, just because we have that grace in this time and day and age that we live, there is a judgment coming, Lord, and we'll have to answer for those things. I pray that the kids right now will look inside themselves, will examine themselves and ask themselves, what lying vanities am I pursuing right now? What am I pursuing that looks good? Maybe no bad things have come from it. Maybe there's nothing evil that I see, you know, manifesting itself. But is it godly? Is it a part of the ministry? Can I find it in the Bible? Maybe I should back off of it because eventually it's going to end up like what happened with Jonah. You know, right now it might be easy to go from the presence of God. It might be easy to go down and find a ship to Tarshish. And it might be easy and convenient because you got the money. You can pay your own fare. But Lord, there's a storm we're heading to. There's a storm coming. And Lord, I pray that before they get to that storm, before they get into that boat and you have to get their attention and humble them, Lord, and bring them to the end of themselves, God, I pray that they would submit right now and bow and give up those lying vanities. Thank you for your mercy, God. Thank you for your grace. And not just for us, but I pray that we would take that once you've given it to us and pass it on to others and tell them about you. Well, we love you and pray and ask these things in your Son, Jesus Christ's name. Amen. All right, guys.